Shane, this week is Parshas Chayesorah. So, as soon as Avraham Avinu walked away from the Akedah and he pleaded, he said, Rabbeinu Shem, please, no more tests, no more tests. I can't, enough, Ginnik, Shane, you tested me 10 times enough. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, no more tests. So, Sarah dies. Because Sarah is given to Avraham the way Chava is given to Noach, and we talked about it, that she's there to be mashlim, she's there as his Rebbe, she's there to complete him, to give him the things that he doesn't have. As soon as he says, Rabbi Hashem, don't test me anymore, so Sarah gets taken away from him, because she's only given to him al tanai, you know, on condition that he deals with the world. Which is to say that so long as a person is ready to grow, then you can demand, Rabbeinu Hashem, got to help me. But if a person doesn't want to grow anymore, then you can't say, you know, Rabbeinu Hashem, help me. And the thing about growing is you can't grow unless you plant something in the ground and let it rot, you know. So Avraham Avinu no longer wants to gamble with his life. He no longer wants to lose. He says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't test me anymore. No. Yeah. Okay. Won't test you anymore. But as soon as he goes through that barrier and crosses into that, I don't want to be tested anymore, it's like saying, I don't want to grow anymore. Don't want to grow anymore, that means you don't stand to lose anything. You're not ready to risk. You're not ready to take any kind of chance that you'll lose, because you can't grow unless you take this perfectly good seed that you could, you know, you could boil it and eat it, right? Take this corn. Instead of making myself kukuruts, you know, I dry it out, I put it in the ground, and I let it rot. Maybe something will grow. And that's with everything, you know. If I just put my money in a box underneath my mattress, it's not going to grow. I have to risk it. I have to invest it. Past performance, no guarantee of future performance. You know, just the fact that I did well till now and I was able to be Koivish Meyetzahara and I won all the wars and all the battles, that's no indication of what the future is going to hold. And Avraham Avinu had enough. So the flip side of not being in a position to lose anything, and this applies to the spiritual world as well as to the financial world and to the world in general, the fact that I'm completely protected from loss also means I'm completely protected from gain. So Sarah, who was the Bina of Avraham, she takes all the winnings and she flies up to heaven. And Avraham, Zekana Chochma. See, the thing about Bina is that it doesn't gamble. Bina doesn't gamble. And according to the Chachamim, according to our sages, that's the meaning of having the feminine side, is that the feminine side of us protects us from gambling everything away, whereas the masculine side, derech ha'ish letzeis v'lichbosh, the masculine side goes out. It's interesting, it's a completely different reading from the one we were doing when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, but that derech ha'ish lichbosh, that it's the way of the man to conquer, So Sora takes all the winnings and she says to Avram, all right, I'll put them in the bank. And she goes to the big bank, to the ultimate bank, and banks everything for him. So now, Avraham, now he's mutar lehispashet. As the Ishbitzer says, you know, while a person is going through life and growth and change and is taking risks, a person has to make be betzimtzum. Now, if you've broken through to that place where there's no chance of loss and no chance of gain, now you can do what you want. Mutar lo lehispashet, like it says by Noach, before the Mabul, then he had to be careful not to become shikah, not to become angry, and to be mava on his middos, to let go, not hold resentments, and not hang on, and you know, all the spiritual principles. Then, after the Mabul, he comes out of the ark, you know, and he plants the vineyard, and he makes wine, and he gets drunk, and he curses Canaan, and he doesn't let go of his resentment. And the Ishbitzer says, because after the Hashlomo, after the person has gone past that stage of, you know, losing and winning, and is just in that place of holding, so then mutal is pashit, then a person doesn't have to be careful, because there's nothing to lose. So all the things that a person was holding back from doing, they can do. So Avraham remarries. And what children does he have? He sends them away, Yoktan and Zimran, and he gives them matonos. The Gemara says, Moselem shem tumah. He gives them an unclean name, shem tumah, an unclean meaning that some kind of shem tumah. What are we going to say? It's like a name of God, but it's an unholy name. It's even strange to understand what it means. But the Ari says, because the word matonois, it says he gave them gifts and he sent them away to the east. But the word matonois is written without a vav, and vav is one of the letters of the holy name. And wherever you could have in Hebrew a word in the Torah that bears a vav and doesn't have one, it means it's something unclean. So the word matonois, gifts, could have had a vav in it. And since it doesn't, that's where the Gemara says that Moselehem Shem Tumah. Moselehem Shem Tumah. How come Avraham, he's reached Hashlomo, right? He's reached perfection. But he gets married, right? And his children are nothing. They're nothing. They're like ciphers. They disappear into history. Whereas the children that he has while he's still struggling and, you know, dealing and in a position to lose, and, you know, he's on a spiritual journey, you know, these children have spiritual depth. Even Yishmael, like it says in the Kisvei Ari, that the Gerim that come from Yishmael are very, very high. So here, where's the sense in this? That a person who has reached, you know, like with Noach, you know, so he's reached his Hashlama, and now he gets drunk and he curses his son, and that's fine, that's fine. And Avraham has reached his Hashlama, so now he gets married and he has these children who are completely devoid of any spiritual values or spiritual attributes or characteristics. I mean, the sooner they're gone, the better. It's like, how come Avraham now, when he has children, that they're not very special? It's a stuck question. And sometimes I think, you know, lately I read the news. It's not often. it's not often that on Monday night we talk about what's going on in the news. But in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there's a in the Knesset today. There's a big vote, and whether to give stipends to people who are learning Torah there in Eretz Yisrael, to the Kollel Yungelites and so on, and they are voting for it, and but most of the people are against it, but they know that they won't be able to pass the budget unless they include the budget, and they pass the budget, and they said they're not going to include it, but then they pass the budget, and it's there on the paper. And I'm thinking to myself, where are we in this story? Where, if we look at our history, or we look at history, like, where are the Jewish people in this narrative? Have we reached the Bechina of Avram Zokein Bo Bayomim? Have we reached this place of we are aged? You know, the Medrash says Avram prayed. Nobody prayed like Avram. And, you know, he even prays for the people of Sodom. And God says, beautiful Avram, your fifis, you are more beautiful than anybody. Avram says, what's the big beauty? I go into an inn with my son Yitzchak, and they think they don't know who's who. It's not nice. Where's the big beauty in it? People should be able to tell the difference between the father and the son. So he went to sleep that night, and he woke up in the morning, and he's gone all white. Avraham Zokin. So he looks at himself and he sees now he's got a white beard. Yeah, he looks very different from Yitzchak, but you know something? He says to Rabbani Shlalem, Asasini Dugma. You've made me into some kind of a showpiece. And God says to him, it's all right. It's okay for Eved to be like the Rebbe. It's okay for you, the Chosid, to be like that, to be like me, because when Daniel, when he sees this image of me, he says, and he has a beard, white as wool, or ketelik chvar, like white as snow. So I have white, I'm white, says God, you can also be white. Yeah. So Avraham Zokin, and Avraham is old. So Asasini Dugma. Because Avram says, wait, now you've taken away my Yitzhara, basically. I can't lose, you know. You're not going to test me anymore. But now I don't have anything to gain. So I'm like a dogma, you know. I'm a form that people can look at, you know. But I'm like a plastic model. I'm a mannequin. I'm not real anymore. I mean, if I could, you know, he really felt that he had lost in achieving this status of Hashloma, that he'd lost something. That he was no longer like his son. He was hoping for something else to happen. It's hard to know what he was thinking was going to happen, but now Sarah's gone. He's not capable of any higher madrigas. He's not going to rise to any kind of level. And you know, now I'm just an old person. And God says, all right, I'm also an old person. What does that mean? I mean, you could say, you know, God's obviously not going to go down from his madregos. God's not going to go down, so Avraham doesn't have to worry about going down. But it's difficult to say that that's the meaning. Somebody asked me a question last week and came up about Kibud Av V'Em, and Reb Julian was talking about Reb Nachman talking about Mama Sosum. The meaning of Mama Sosum, the hidden, or the closed Ma'amar. The Mishnah says with 10 sayings, God created the world. So if you count the sayings, you know, God said, let there be light, and so on, but it's only nine. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Bereshis Nami Mamar. Those two sentences right at the beginning of the Torah, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was chaos and void, and there was water over the abyss, and this is also a mamar. It's also a saying. It's a saying, but it's not a saying, because it doesn't say anybody said it. So Reb Nachman says that with each of the sayings, God said, let there be light, God said, let there be a heaven, with each of them, there's a revelation of the glory of God. Kavod. With each of the sayings, there's another revelation of a different aspect of the glory of God, and the meaning of the creation of the world is the glory of God. But in all the glory that exists in the universe and any way that human beings have of glorifying God, it's all the kavod, the glory has to be connected to the mamar sosum. It has to be to the unspoken glory. So in that very first saying, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was chaos and void, that saying, which is unspoken, right? It's an unspoken saying. That one contains all the other ones. And so all the glory that exists in the world is contained in that mamar sosum, in that unspoken one. And in fact, everything, all the sefiros, are contained within that sefira of the mamar sosum, of the unspoken saying. And so the ultimate, so to speak. And that's why this is considered to be the sefira of Keser. And the very first of the Ten Commandments is Anoichi Hashem. And again, it's not a commandment, it's just it's also a mamar sosum. God says, I'm God. Where's the command? So Reb Nachman says that the greatest glory of God comes from the unspoken saying. And because the greatest glory of God comes from the most furthest place away from holiness. And that, if you ask yourself, you know, how come evil exists? How come dirty places exist? Nothing could exist without the word of God sustaining it. And you know, God's presence is in everything, and the divinity is. So what's the divinity in the murderer? This is the mamar sosum. It's the unspoken saying. So that the unspoken saying contains the simple desire of God, and in an undifferentiated way that is infinite. And so things can be what seemingly infinitely far away from God. I mean, what could be more further away from God than the person who is evil? And yet, that person has the capacity for the ultimate glory. Like Rav Moshe Kodavera says in the first chapter of Talmud Devarim, he says, the Gemara says, "B'mukim shebali tshuva oimdim in tzadikim gemurim yochelim lamed," in the place where the penitent stands and the perfectly righteous person cannot stand, because the glory of God comes more out of the story of the penitent than it does, since the whole story, the whole creation of the world is for the revelation of God. So the revelation of God comes out of the person who is furthest away. Yoshuv Yerachaminu. So, how far can a person go? A person shouldn't find out. But since everything that is created, God says, I created it for my glorification, meaning that he, as we were saying last week, b'chol mokem sh'ata moitze gedulosu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ata moitze im v'sunusu, wherever you find the greatness of God, you find God's humility. So God says, you know, my greatness, my kavod, my glory comes out of you. You human beings, you glorify me. So I depend on you to glorify me. So from the furthest away place comes the glory. And, you know, the opposite of kavod, the opposite of honor is shame, is busha. So it's in that place where a person has the opportunity for busha, that's where comes out of that, that's from the same, that is the source of the kavod, right? And that's why Reb Nachman says, that's why there's a mitzvah of kibud av, that's why the fifth commandment is to honor your father, because if we're talking about honor, all honor comes about through the birth of a new human being, and all birth of a human being comes about through the possibility of shame. And you know, our sexuality is a possible source of shame. So it has to be out of that possible source of shame that comes honor. So since I was born from my parents, it means that they didn't do anything shameful, that they did something honorable, and therefore the act of my birth is this act of the honor. And so the Torah says, honor your parents, because they're the ones who enable you to honor God. So all honor of God starts with kibud av v'em, honoring one's parents. But all honor is connected to the ma'amar sosem, is connected to the unspoken saying, because it doesn't matter whether it's a sphere of gevura or chesed or whatever it is, all of them have to find their source in the unspoken, in the source where, you know, like, everything is where it is not. The Zohar Kodesh says, you know, if since Shabbos is the Makor HaBrocha, you know, if Shabbos is the blessed, you know, how come there's no man? Because it's the source of the blessing, and wherever the source of the blessing is, that's where you don't see it. Wherever the source, whenever you're mamish in the source, there you don't see. So, I want to say that when God says to Abraham, it's enough for you to, the servant, to be like the master, and you're white and I'm white, Abraham Zokain, and so Abraham gets old and then he remarries, and there's nothing to win or lose, and so these offspring that he has are seemingly without any spiritual values, and they just, it's not so. That above the level of winning and losing, that even if a person gets past the chance of losing, and so then they lose the chance of winning, and as we explained before, but there's the bechin of mama sosum, that there's an unspoken saying, and that Avraham Avinu, when he gets past the place of being tested and he feels now, you know, I'm just a dugma, I'm just a mannequin, I'm just a, this is, I mean, it's a very nice life, but I'm not getting, I'm not gaining, that he's in the bechina of mama sosem, he's in the unspoken saying. And yes, of course, there's no winning or losing, there's no gain, there's nothing to be seen at all, because you're in the Mekor HaBrochos, you're in the source of the blessing. In the source of the blessing, you don't see the blessing. And so these children that Abraham has, of course, you can't see anything in them either. Even Abraham can't see anything in them. And Baruch Hashem, he had them, because if he hadn't had these children, then Yitzchak would have had to have these children, and they you can only imagine how much trouble we would have had having to deal with Esau's other brothers. And that even though from the narrative of the Torah, you know, we don't get a real impression of what these children of Abraham were and like what their, what kind of personalities they have and how we're going to relate to them and what they mean to us, we can be sure, even though it doesn't, it's not spoken out loud, that this is the bechin of mamasus, and that these are the source of all those holy sparks and holy souls that need to rejoin the Jewish people from the highest place. And I was thinking that that's the meaning of, you know, this story where we are now in our history. You know, it's hard to see. We seem to have gotten, you know, past the age of producing. You know, there was a time when there were new streams of Judaism. You know, from every shtetl, from every big city in Europe, in the Orient, in Africa, and wherever it was, you know, in Turkey and places in the Levant and as far as Persia, you know, there was the new stuff was cooking and it was just bubbling up all the time, new ways of worshipping God. And now we seem to have, you know, passed through into this place where, hey, there's nothing to lose, there's nothing to gain, you know, all the big rebbes are fighting each other in secular courts, in goyish courts, you know, I mean, it's hard even to go past the clipper, you know, you can take the shell off and there doesn't seem to be any fruit inside, you know. So what's the meaning? And I feel like we're in this place now of Mama Sosum where, like Avraham, he has children, they don't seem to be of any value, and they don't seem to have any spiritual connection to us, to his other children, or to Abraham himself, and he has to send them away. And I feel like when we're looking at us, that we've also reached this place, and just as we have to trust, Hashem beirachis Avraham bakoil, that God is blessing Abraham with everything, right? So somehow, you know, this spiritual void that he seems to be in is yet, this is called a blessing with everything. And the word bakoil, you know, is nun beis. It's 52. You know, this is one of the names of God. You know, even though the Gemara's one pshat is, he blessed him, he had a daughter called Bakoil, but l'chaira he has a son. He has a ben. He has a name of God with the miloi. So I want to say that we are all at this place, and even though we can't really understand our own spiritual journey, the, you know, there's so much of what's happening with us that seems to be, you know, mabekach. It's really only when we get to that place, you know, that we get to the ayeh, where, you know, that's the question, the moment of all the zivugim, the moment everything comes together is in that question, ayim mekayim kavoidai, where is this place of God's glory? I don't see it. And in this word aye, in this word where, you know, that is the zivug itself, because that is the mamasosan, that is the unspoken saying, that is like, I don't know, and everything to do with sexuality goes into that place of, I don't know where God's glory is in this thing. And so of course you know that you're at the source, because you're at that place where you can't see it. And we today, we seem to be at this place of, where is God's glory? You know, I look around, you know, and where is it? So we must be really close. Shkoyach.